There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 173 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin talks to David Nim, leading practitioner of local search engine marketing. All coming up in Internet Marketing.
The world of local search has been developing a lot over the last sort of 5 years, it feels like. Do you think there's kind of been more change happening recently, or has it settled down a little bit, the world of kind of local search and how Google is starting to peel to feed that into their normal search results?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that it's slowed down. I think if anything, Google is, it's again, speaking specifically about Google, not necessarily the other engines, but Google in particular, has been throwing a lot more resources at local in the last year to year and a half, I would say. So starting in about, sort of end of 2010, I would say they really started to, staff up the help forums for Google Places. They've launched feet on the street marketing campaign in a lot of cities across the U.S. My hometown, Portland, Oregon, was the first one. No coincidence whatsoever. I'm just teasing. But at any rate, they're throwing a lot of resources, and I think certainly the awareness among small businesses of, you know, Google's local offerings, and certainly the influence that map related or location related results have within Google is definitely growing. And I think, you know, it's about to change again at some point in the next couple months. I've been a little bit surprised that, Google Plus launched June or July of 2011. And it's, you know, here we are 9 months later, 10 months later. And we still don't have sort of a Places Plus, merge or synchronization anyway on the back end of Google. And I think that that's probably the next phase is, Google, I think Google will probably head towards, the place page as sort of, Google's version of a Facebook page, where whether it's called Plus or Places or whatever, all of these sort of local customer interactions, digital customer interactions are going to be happening around the place page. So I think it's about to become a lot more dynamic than it's been in the past.
And that's kind of a real close tying then of local and social, which seems to be a trend in general, isn't it, really?
Right, exactly. I think, Google... Google has probably seen Facebook as its largest competitor, sort of globally, I think in the last couple of years. And, interestingly enough, Facebook has had, a great success without very much marketing effort, at getting, small businesses to go on and create a Facebook page. Over the stat here in the U.S. anyway, is that over 50% of businesses have a Facebook page, whereas it's probably closer to 20 to 25% that have a Places page. So, Facebook has had this, much more successful sort of long tail small business, offering for quite a while, but they haven't really done much with local. And I think Google sees that as a way in, as sort of an entree into this market is, okay, well, we've got, You know, we've got the local data layer, and sort of local, you know, with reviews, with check-ins, with all of that stuff. Google has a pretty good feel for that. And they don't have the social angle figured out yet, but I think that that's changing. And as you said, I think, you know, all of these mobile apps that are coming out, sort of tying in local with social, with games, you know, those sorts of things. I think Google knows they need to be a player in that to stay ahead of everyone else.
And do you think part of the reason that there perhaps was that slightly slower uptake in businesses on, you know, Google places is related to the fact that so much of the Google data is kind of drawn from other sources, as it were, that it kind of feels like they perhaps haven't had to go to that effort, whereas you didn't get a Facebook page unless you created one for yourself?
Right. That's potentially true. I think, though, in general, it's at least among the businesses that we talk to with our GetListed.org local university series, you know, the folks who attend those events, it's much more just the fact that the average small business in America just doesn't know that Google Places exists. Whereas, you know, they certainly know Google exists, but it's a much more complex beast to try to understand than is Facebook. Everybody sort of gets Facebook immediately. And so it's much more a question, at least over here, of businesses, you know, knowing that they have the option to engage with Google Places, you know, let alone for free. Whereas, you know, again, Facebook just has this incredible market share that businesses know they need to be on there.
And in terms of those kind of businesses that come to you that are kind of not really as aware, you know, or becoming aware of Google Places, what's the kind of most common issue that they face that you kind of help them solve, and how do they go about solving that? You know, that potentially that some of the listeners might be suffering from.
Exactly. So, well, there's, I think, two big issues, and you highlighted one with your question, you know, a minute ago, which is, well, why is my data wrong? Why can't I fix my data? Why is my, you know, why is my address 5 years out of date? Or why haven't you updated my website address? Those sorts of questions. So I think the data issue is still a big one. And, you know, it's probably beyond the scope of this podcast to try to,
highlight. Is it even a solvable issue? I'm not sure it is. Is it really? I don't know.
It is definitely a solvable issue. You probably will bang your head against the wall for a month or so. But, you know, if you definitely get some, you know, put some elbow grease into it, you can solve the data issue. Yeah. Essentially, there are, at a very high level, there are, in this country, there are two or three major data aggregators that pull business data from phone records, from utility bills, from, you know, sort of business organization rosters, those sorts of things. And in this country, in the U.S., it's InfoGroup and Localese are the two big players. And they basically are the foundational database for all local search sites. That's a little bit of a generalization, but pretty much everyone relies on, you know, on their data in one way or another. And so the problem is they're not very well-known consumer brands. I doubt that many of your listeners have ever heard of them. And so, you know, businesses don't know that they need to fix their data on these two big players. And frankly, just going right to Google and trying to update it, again, if Google gets a feed from somebody else, like one of these players with that incorrect data, it's not likely to stick. So you're sort of playing whack-a-mole unless you fix your data at these big aggregators. The other really sort of lesser known tool that I think is very valuable and is a totally white hat technique to use if you are having trouble with your data. In some countries, Google has a product called MapMaker. So google.com/MapMaker. And this represents sort of the underlying, there's sort of the maps layer, then there's the map maker layer, then there's the places layer. So this is sort of one layer down closer to the foundation for Google. And if you're having trouble with your data in Google Places, you might check Google Map Maker and see if there's some underlying bug in that database that that you can clean up. It's not available in all countries yet, but it is in the U.S. And I don't know if it's in the U.K. yet, but it's in many actually third world countries around the world. It's sort of the best mapping source, user generated source of maps around the world. So that's definitely an option on the data front. And then the other big problem that people tend to have with places is, you know, what happened to my reviews, right? Google stopped showing third-party reviews last July as part of the blended search rollout. And so, you know, people who had put all of this effort into getting reviews on City Search and certainly Yelp in this country is a big one, TripAdvisor, et cetera, You know, all of those reviews have disappeared from Google Places, and Google now only shows native Places reviews. And so it's definitely caused a lot of us to adjust our strategy that we recommend in terms of where businesses ask for customer reviews. And even, you know, sometimes Google even loses their reviews from time to time, depending on, you know, where the sort of data index is rolling out. So those are, I think, the two biggest issues. Number one, incorrect data. Number two, loss of reviews, at least temporarily, that businesses tend to you know, kind of scream about.
And Dave, the main way that I, well, the first way that I came across you and kind of and the blogosphere was kind of your local search ranking factors that you compile. Can you tell us a bit about kind of how that came about and some of the, you know, the biggest ranking factors that are kind of illustrated from that process that you go?
Sure. Yeah. So this came about in about, I don't know, I don't even know the first year that I did it, but let's just say it was 2007. Obviously, Rand at SEO Moz, you know, had done a ranking factors for, you know, generic Google searches. But, you know, I was working with very small clients, at the time and still am, to some extent, where the only searches that really mattered for them, you know, they weren't going to compete with Amazon or Home Depot or Walmart or whatever.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The only searches that were really relevant for them were when people were typing in, you know, what city they were looking for. So if they're looking for, you know, a coffee shop in Portland, you know, back in 2007, 2008, you had to type in the word Portland in order to get locally relevant results. And I didn't think that the, you know, I didn't see that the factors that all the experts that Rand surveyed really held that true for those map influence results. And so, I, and about, I don't know, at the time, probably 15 or 20 of my colleagues in local search, you know, we just sort of put our heads together and you know, Mike Blumenthal, especially, I want to highlight him in particular. You know, he sort of developed this model of ranking factors for specifically relevant to local queries. And so I sort of just wanted to get a sense for, you know, the people who were really following us, whose clients, you know, consisted basically exclusively of the same type of businesses that mine did, get a sense for what they saw as relevant for local rankings. And so, you know, as the algorithms evolved, it's actually gotten much harder to do that survey because, anymore, you know, especially after the Venice update a couple weeks ago, you know, you're now seeing locally relevant organic results blended with local blended results blended with, you know, pure local results. And so, what is a local result anymore is very, very difficult to figure out. You know, there's not a sort of standard set of there's not sort of one algorithm Google's relying on. There's probably three algorithms, at play at any given time. So, it's really, you know, I think that the quantitative stuff that a lot of people are doing is actually a lot harder to sort out. And so it really needs to be at this point, it doesn't need to be. I certainly would continue to encourage people to do quantitative research, but I think qualitatively, you're starting to see, things like, anchor text coming back in local search anyway, as in a big way, links pointing to your website with both category and geography seem to be really important for those locally influenced organic results. In terms of pure places results, I think we're seeing the same thing we've always seen, even though Google's not showing us where they're getting this data from. But again, making sure that your data is accurate on these major sites like Infogroup, Locally's, City Search, Yelp, making sure that Google can associate those with the same information on your place page, that's very, very important. And then the number one tip, in terms of like easy wins for, if you run an agency and you do a lot of this stuff for small businesses who don't have a big budget, the number one tip I would say is look at your keyword research, figure out the top, you got to pick five categories at Google, but only four of them can be custom. So look at your top four keywords from your keyword research, match that up with the keywords that are the most lucrative for your clients, and plug those into custom categories. That's still a huge factor that I see, that most of my colleagues see with, if you look at the results of my survey, as influencing local results. I think that's people are always looking for sort of the easy, quick win. And that's probably the biggest one you could do, in local.
And you mentioned there, David, a little bit about the kind of the Venice update. Can you kind of talk a bit about kind of what that is and how that's manifesting itself and potentially how that might kind of impact on businesses and how they go about their kind of local search marketing?
Sure. So Venice, Mike Ramsey actually wrote a great post on SEO Moz, Mike Ramsey of niftymarketing.com. So he sort of highlighted something that that not a lot of people were talking about with respect to Venice. Frankly, I haven't. I'm totally embedded in local search, so I'm not even sure how Venice applies to organic search. I'm sure to the same extent that you are, Kelvin. But with respect to local, we're starting to see very, very customized or personalized results on a local basis within organic search. So let's say, you're over in the UK and you do a search for, plumbing companies, something like that. Before you would see, probably you'd see a 7-pack of local businesses or at least a blended 7-pack of local businesses. And you might still get that as part of Venice. But in addition to that, rather than seeing, the national website for a big corporation, plumbing company that serves clients worldwide, you're more likely to see organic, just pure website results from local businesses in your area. And so it's really impacting over here anyway. It's really impacting, standard internet yellow pages sites, which had already lost traffic due to, the 7-pack. You're seeing them really fall off the search results now because every result on the page is locally relevant based on where you're doing the search, things that other people in your general geographic region have found interesting and click through. So you're really starting to see Google's incorporating more and more location signals into pure organic results, which we've seen to a degree in the past, but never to the same extent that this latest update seems to have rolled out. So if you want to know more about this, I definitely would recommend that post by Mike Ramsey on SEO Moz. It came out sometime in early to mid-March. So just, I'm sure you could Google around or Bing around and find that.
Yeah, no, I'll make sure I'll add that into the show notes as well, David. And just to finish up with one final question. If someone kind of has come to this episode today, they kind of were aware of local search and that potentially they ought to be doing something about it, and they've listened to the episode and gone, blimey, I actually really ought to be going about this. Is there any kind of beginner's resources or places to start that you recommend pointing people towards if they're kind of just starting out in the world of optimizing their website for geographic search?
Sure.
Queries.
Yep. So, selfishly, I'll plug my local search ranking factors. If you just type in localsearchrankingfactors.com, I think that'll give you sort of a pretty good list in some sense, it's a little bit overwhelming, but if you sort of stick with the top 10 or 15, that'll get you a good start in terms of what to be paying attention to. There are tons of other great resources out there. Mike Blumenthal's blog, I mentioned earlier, it's blumenthals.com/blog. He is really the guy to keep in touch with on a daily basis. He'll be talking about interface changes, about algorithmic changes. So if you want to sort of, you know, keep up with this on a regular basis, his blog is really the one I dive into. I mentioned Mike Ramsey earlier. Anything local that appears on SEO Moz is generally contributed by one of us, one of the members of the local search community. And so, you might even consider just, searching site:SEOMoz.org local search and seeing what shows up. I know Rand did a great post last July when Google started hiding, both reviews and citation sources about how to find, citations now that Google is no longer showing them. And it was a technique that we'd been using for a while, but no one had really published. So I'm glad that Rand did that. And related to that, there's a tool that will do that for you that Darren Shaw out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada has put out, whitespark.ca. And then the name of the tool is Local Citation Finder. So those are some great resources that I would say both from a, sort of general understanding level down to a tactical level, I think I'd encourage people to take a look at.
Fantastic. Well, some great advice there. And it's a world in which it only seems to be Googler, with Venice and that are kind of making ever more complicated, but ever more important in the world of kind of search marketing.
Yeah, we've, Google has shared with us, with everyone, not with me, personally, but, 20% of their desktop queries are local in nature. So 1 in 5 queries, you're going to get some sort of local influence in your results. And that number goes up to 53% on the mobile device, on any mobile device. So as mobile search grows, with more and more market share, that also means local search is growing in market share. So really, no matter what your business is, local is probably going to be relevant for you within the next, year to 2 years.
Fantastic. Well, really appreciate that, David. There's some great advice there and some great resources you've recommended as well. And I really appreciate your time.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Kelvin. I really appreciate being asked to come on.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.